With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined by my fellow run-it-back partner, Alex Wong.
Yeah, always a pleasure to speak with you about basketball.
Describe the setting that we're currently recording in right now.
Yeah, we're in the basement of an Airbnb in Quebec City, and Will has set us up at a ping pong table.
We got to keep it cultural every time.
Yeah, we've kept it really cultural. I mean, the run-it-back episode is coming out. It should be out by the time you hear this.
Shout out Kieran.
Yeah, and this, I hope they left all our Asian references in there. My favorite one was Chitchat Express.
Yo, yeah, we'll explain that actually right now. We'll get to
Chitchat Express is just, I guess, a cheaper way to ship things.
Oh, or it's cheaper than DHL?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow, yeah. All right.
But you have to like go to the place and like input stuff into an Excel sheet to print out your own labels.
That's fine. Worth it, though. That's fine. I'm down with that.
Look up the location on Queens Quay if you're in Toronto.
Okay, all right. That's a real plug. So we just came back from watching the Raptors intra-squad scrimmage, which took place at Laval University. First off, I mean, what are your general thoughts? We're gonna go player by player, and I mean player by player. We're gonna give you the analysis you need on Devin Robinson.
Yeah. I don't know who that is yet.
All right. I thought you took notes, man.
Yeah. I was doing social, so I was a bit occupied.
You like retweeted like three of my tweets. All right. Anyway, whatever.
That's a cheat code.
Yeah. What are your general thoughts after seeing squad A versus squad B?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. First of all, I thought the atmosphere was really good in the gym. You know, when we walked in, I think it was about an hour before the scrimmage, you know, it was already very packed getting into the gym.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of kids, different people wearing Raptors jerseys and things like that. And when they introduced all the players and coaches, you know, a lot of them got really huge ovations, including Nick Nurse, Chris Boucher, obviously.
Who got the biggest ovation?
Honestly, I think Fred.
Yeah, Fred was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred's a fan favorite, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like Fred has cemented that status. And, you know, the atmosphere was great. I know we're going to go player by player, but Serge was really impressive.
Okay, yeah.
I thought he really impressed. Norm, not so much.
Okay.
Terrence Davis made his own mixtape. Coming to Yahoo Sports.
Yo, Kieran's making the mixtape as we speak right now, man.
Yeah, those are the things that stood out to me. But, I mean, it was a scrimmage. You know, the guys looked a little sluggish to start.
Mm.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, Matt Thomas made his first shot from approximately 30 feet.
These are all your notes, man. You're giving it up in the first 2 minutes of the podcast.
I'm done, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. The rest of it's going to be
I'm going to need the roster list because there's like seven players. Like Serge crossed up a guy who I did not know who he was, and you had to tell me.
Don't disrespect Sagaba Kanata.
Yeah.
Recovering from a knee injury. And
yeah. You tweeted about him the other day. I thought you made a typo.
No.
I thought it was a double autocorrect.
No, that's his name, man.
Yeah.
He's from Mali. He was speaking to the French media.
This guy's really trying to get his Blake Murphy on this season.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. This guy's really still following Blake's path, you know?
It's been a whole career of trying to follow Blake Murphy. All right.
What about you?
I agree with you, man. I guess in terms of relative expectations, we'll go with the guys that impressed us the most first.
Sure.
You mentioned, Terrence Davis.
Yes.
We just had Terrence Davis for an interview that I released on this podcast feed as a short, interview. It was about 9 minutes. We sort of talked about Terrence and, you know, his upbringing and, you know, history playing football, going through the draft process, things like that, and also his connection with a couple of guys on the team. In terms of relative expectations, right? There's a lot of rookies on this team, and you look at it, and. Out of all those guys, Terrence is like head and shoulders over everyone else. I would say Matt Thomas is number two.
No, but I would agree with you.
But like, it's Terrence, like a clear one.
When you look at Terrence, like he looks like he can be an NBA player. And I think that's the best compliment you can give a guy who went undrafted
and
got signed to a contract, right? Like he looked comfortable out there.
He had an 8-0 run by himself in the first quarter for the two teams, which I guess I should outline who the two teams were. So I thought it was a little unbalanced because, on one side you got Fred, you got Pascal, you got Serge, and you got Terrence Davis and Matt Thomas.
Right.
Who I thought were five of the best players on the floor.
Yep.
Maybe not Pascal, but we'll talk about it in a sec. But those are, qualitatively speaking, very, very good players. And on the other end, it was led by like Norm.
Yeah. Patrick McCaw. OG.
OG. Boucher.
That's about it.
You know what I mean? Like Stanley Johnson, who didn't really do much. Like, you know what I mean? So I thought the teams were a little bit unbalanced, and so I think obviously the team, the first team I mentioned, Team Black, had like a better chance, a better roster construction. But at the same time, I thought even despite the fact that he was playing with a lot of really good players, Terrence really just shined in terms of his confidence. Rose up for three, was very confident with those. We've sort of seen it throughout. I mean, not all the players are still working out in the gym by the time the reporters are led into training camp, but every single time. Terrence Davis, I think 4 out of 4 days that I've been here, he's always been staying late in the shooting drill with usually Isaiah Taylor. And, I mean, his jump shot looks good, man. His jump shot looks really good, looks really solid, and he can make a couple plays. Like, he had a really, really good transition dunk, which, again, all these highlights we're going to reference, they will come out on a highlight tape, so just look out for that from Yahoo Sports Canada. It's probably going to come out on YouTube or Twitter. We'll see. It'll be on social. We'll release it tomorrow. But for now, Terrence had that great dunk. He looks solid and poised. Doesn't look shook out there. And defensively, I thought he looks really solid too. You know?
Yeah, and Nick pointed him out in the post game. You know, talking about how explosive his game is, and you know how he's big, strong, fast, quick. And those are the things that's going to allow him to stay on the floor. And the one thing that Nick, I think, keeps hammering is that he wants these new players to learn how to play the way that the Raptors want them to play within the offensive and the defensive system, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, one of the things Nick was talking about, too, was that Terrence really has the ability to be a good, maybe even really good, on-ball defender.
Yep.
Like, obviously, that's not going to come overnight. But, you know, it does sound like, you know, the team is pretty high on him. You know, I'm curious to see, especially, you know, they still have got the actual preseason to play, how things are going to play out. Where do you see Terrence maybe starting the season? Because I know there's expectations that he'd probably start at 9:05. Like, do you think it's possible, like, he could be on the roster?
Well, I'll say this. Just because, especially with all young guys, you never want to hand it to them that quickly, especially guys who are undrafted. There's just sort of a way you got to go through things, right? Even though one guy might be better than another guy, there is a hierarchy to be respected. It's like any other company, right? Just because you come in and you're better than one guy that's been there for 10 years, you're not immediately taking his job.
Well, corporate analogies, eh?
No, but for real, it's the same way, right?
So they have to earn it, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so I think what happens is he probably starts a year in the G League. I actually talked to Terrence and I sort of asked him, you know, has Nick talked to you about the G League? He has said probably not, but he kind of expects like, yeah, it's probably going to be at least a little bit of a stint with the 905. And I think by the year's end, you'll see Terrence sort of join the team and be sort of a 10th to 11th man. I think he's already in this stage of his career. I think he's already ready for a bigger role than that, because if I compare him to someone like Pat McCaw, for example, I'm like, I don't even notice. Did you notice Pat McCaw today, other than the fact
that he had
green hair?
I only ever remember Pat McCaw's on the team when someone brings him up.
Yeah, and it's usually a meme, right? But, like, you know, like, I already think he can do a little bit more than that. But at the same time, like, you need to just earn your way up. There is an opportunity, because Nick has sort of talked repeatedly about the fact that they are trying to develop him first as a point guard, which makes sense. Because if you look at the depth at point guard on this team, it's not really there. And the two guys that are obviously in Kyle and Fred, who are going to be playing most of the point guard minutes, if not all of them, they're also both impending free agents. So you need to have someone in the pipeline. And they're probably going to try to turn Terrence into a one, whereas, you know, he's sort of a combo guard. He played a lot of two at Ole Miss, had a coaching change, then played a little bit more one. So he's still a little bit new to the position. He's not necessarily the best playmaker just yet. But yeah, I think throughout the course of the season, he's going to, if he does really well to 905, and chances are pretty good that guys like Isaiah Taylor or Cameron Payne, who are basically in contention for the third point guard spot, they're probably not going to hold it down for the whole season. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I think Terrence probably comes in towards the end of the year. And then you're not upside in the apple cart. You're letting the man earn this position. And I don't even think there's a big rush to, you know, anoint him just yet anyway, right?
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. Like, there's a spot there. Because if you assume that maybe Fred and Norm are going to split the starting shooting guard minutes, and then you look down the list, like, who's their backup point guard? Like, you're talking about guys like McCaw.
Yeah.
And like Cameron Payne. So there's actually a spot there that's like available like this season. And you're probably right. Like, that's not something that he's going to take on opening night. And there's obviously going to be things that he needs to develop. But like, just from early signs from like 1 week of training camp and the scrimmage tonight, I think all the signs are pointing in the right direction. And that's good.
Okay. So it's pretty clear by this point that I have taken to the Terrence Davis propaganda for Yahoo Sports Canada. Yeah. You have already established very early on that Matt Thomas propaganda is what you do. So how satisfied were you to see Matt Thomas today, who first shot of the game, he comes into the game, doesn't really get a couple possessions.
Teammates kind of froze him out a little bit.
Okay, but freeze him out. Relax, guys.
Scrimmage, scrimmage propaganda.
Yeah, okay.
It was like Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, all-star game levels. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, so the man wasn't getting open, so he didn't get the ball. But in a transition play, Pascal pushes the break, turns around, flips it to Matt, who's trailing the play. Matt immediately pulls up from 30 feet out, splash. How much pride did you feel?
Oh, it was great.
Your man.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's a moment I've been waiting for. But he missed his next shot, though. Which means that now he needs to make his next 98 to be on a 99 out of 100 pace. But we did see, like, you know, when he was guarding Norm or some other guys, you can see why it might be tough for him to be on the floor because, you know, he's definitely could be a liability on the other end.
Right.
But, you know, like Terrence and with Matt too, you know, if these guys can shoot and be out there to space the floor, I think there will be an opportunity at some point during the season for them to really work themselves into the rotation.
Yeah. And this team needs shooting, man. Based on what I saw today, they need guys who can shoot. Fred can shoot. DeJuan can shoot.
Yeah. We should mention that Kyle and Mark didn't play.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're both recovering. There's a
mini Kyle controversy that's brewing.
But no, they introduced the whole team. Like, they called out everybody on the coaching staff.
Mark came out. Was part of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they got all the whole coaching staff and then every single player. And then it was like, Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol came out in sweats. He's not playing yet. And then it was like, all right, we're going to play. And it's like, no, Kyle. Yeah. But apparently Kyle's in the building. I didn't see him. Did you see him?
No, but it's...
He was in
the building. A lot of the media members are saying that he was...
Where do you think he was in the building? It's a pretty big facility here at
Yeah, I don't know.
Peps.
Maybe he was playing volleyball outside
at
one of the outside courts. Yeah,
it's a good, great facility.
Maybe he went for a swim. Shout out to Laval facilities. Like,
yeah,
they've got all the sports covered.
It's beautiful here, man. There's like a bunch of tennis courts, a racetrack.
Yeah.
You know?
Elite facility.
I'm actually legitimately curious where Kyle was at.
Yeah.
Like, situated.
Maybe he was
building.
Negotiating his legacy contract. I don't know.
Masai wasn't there either, so...
Anyways, we all need...
Because we saw Bobby Webster at halftime. No,
we all need storylines, so...
Yeah, yeah. So
my
whatever.
Sister apparently reported that he saw Masai at the passport office today in Toronto. But my sister also said that Kawhi signed.
What kind of reporting is this?
Yeah, my sister also said that Kawhi was definitely signing with the Raptors 3 days before he signed with the Clippers. So,
wow.
Yeah, she has been eliminated as a reliable source.
Damn.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh yeah, Kyle Lowry. So yeah, no Marcus All, no Kyle Lowry. But one thing about Kyle Lowry before we move on, because we want to talk about the players that actually played. So Nick was asked about it after the game, sort of like, why wasn't Kyle out there? And he's, you know, and when you expect him to be back? And he said probably after the Japan trip, which to me seems like Kyle might be trying to get his way out of that Japan trip. I'm not saying someone as Kyle would be as devious as to avoid a completely needless and very, very arduous short trip to Japan.
It's a veteran move, though.
Yeah.
It's a veteran move.
If we don't see Kyle playing in the two preseason games in Japan, I wouldn't be entirely shocked. That's what I'm saying.
If he's not ready to play and if he's not clear to practice and things like that, I actually don't think he needs to go.
Here's my question to you, though.
Oh, man. Is this like a Japan question?
No. What's your favorite anime? No, I'm kidding. Who's your favorite Japanese player?
My favorite Japanese player? Is this the question for me?
No, it's not. I was trying to get you to say that you interviewed Yuta Watanabe earlier today. Yeah. You were literally on the phone with him.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I love all the tangents that we're going. This is what happens in preseason and like training camp.
Yeah.
We need real storylines.
This is why we have video editors, so we can cut out like the 25 minutes that our actual show is into 10. Look for running back. No, but my question to you is, if Kyle had the thumb injury that obviously he played through in the playoffs and played really well on it, despite the fact that it was really jammed up, if he needed surgery this whole time, why did he get surgery later in July and now he's not at training camp, presumably due to the thumb?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question.
Because, you know, you have the injury.
Yep.
You have time to celebrate, and obviously, you know, go
up. He went to
a
few days of Team USA camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know.
Yeah.
And then he had surgery. So
we've seen this before with Kyle, too, right? Like we had mentioned the
2017
All-Star game, right? He had an injury and he participated in the three-point shootout.
Oh, I forgot that. Oh, man.
And also played in the game. And then missed, like, I think the next 2 months.
That's when Kyle Lowry turned the six upside down and put a 9 in the three-point contest. That was, whoo.
Don't worry, Matt Thomas will fix that this season.
I hope so.
But, yeah, I don't know. Kyle has always been a little bit, I don't know, polarizing might be kind of strong. But I think Kyle has always gone his own way. So,
yeah.
It's not a surprise. At the same time, you know, I think it's worth talking about, but
sure.
I'm not sure it's a huge deal.
Right.
I mean, think about last season. I mean, remember the whole first half of the season we were talking about how, you know, surly Kyle was, and he gave that interview with Rachel Nichols.
Yep.
Where he clearly stated that, yeah, you know, Masai and I are just player and general manager.
Yeah.
Like, and
then they won the finals.
And then they
Kyle
won the
Lowry
championship.
Saved them from the cop.
Saved them from the cop, and they had the hardest embrace that I've ever seen. Hardest on-court embrace. I'm surprised no one got injured.
I think that's why Kyle had surgery. Masai hugged him too hard. Psych.
I mean, we've had these Kyle storylines before. And to be honest, I'd be more stressed if it was a situation like last year where you're integrating a player like Kawhi, realizing that there's a one-year window.
This year's like whatever, man.
I don't know about you, yeah. Like, I don't want to, like, this season's not a write-off, but, you know.
It's a bridge year.
It's a bridge year. The pressure is off. You know, it definitely does not feel as intense. Like, the urgency is not there to win a championship this year or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, you know, Kyle's been here long enough. Masai's made his comments about Kyle's legacy.
Yeah.
And Kyle will continue to be Kyle, and he'll probably show up on opening night and have a huge game.
Yeah, for sure. It's just a little weird that they went through a whole training camp. You know, Kyle was not, was just not made available. He was around the team and stuff, but whatever. Let's not talk about Kyle. Kyle's gonna be fine. Not a real controversy. It was just a little strange that he didn't push up.
Yeah.
Other guys that stood out to me, Serge Ibaka.
Oh man, now, you called him Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh no, I was gonna say he did look like Hakeem in a couple plays because he had, you know, he like basically dropped Sagaba Kanate to the ground.
Again, not sure if it's an actual player, but
that's a real guy. He's on the Raptors.
Okay.
So I'll preface this by saying he was playing against two rookies.
Sure.
And Kanate, and he mostly matched up with DeJuan Hernandez. So, you know, you expect a veteran to get his way. But, like, Serge was dominating these guys.
Yeah, and he was taking it seriously,
right? It's vicious.
Yeah, he was taking it seriously. It's so easy for a guy like him, like a vet, to just not really take a scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah.
That seriously. And it seems like Serge has been really locked in
Yep.
during training camp. I think Nick's mentioned that, too. And, you know.
He went 8-for-8 on the contested shooting three drill.
Yeah, that was a team record, I think.
yeah, apparently. You can't do better than 100%.
And he was asked yesterday, you know, that someone tried to make a joke about, you know, he talked about going out to different restaurants. And obviously with his successful cooking show, he was asked whether he got in the kitchen. And he was like having none of the jokes. He was like, I'm not here for cooking. I'm here for basketball.
I'm a serious human.
Yeah. No, he's a serious dude, you know?
He is like
Serge
very silly sometimes, but also very serious most
Serge
of the time.
Will be silly on his own terms. Yeah. That's Serge. Like, the minute that you treat him like a silly person, like, he'll remind you, like,
yeah,
I choked Marquise Chris last season. Like, like, this is an actual thing that happened. Like, let's not forget how intense he is, like, on the basketball court.
Just because y'all got cameras around doesn't mean I won't do this to you guys.
Yeah, like, just because he, like, went behind his back and dribbled around like DeMarcus Cousins in the finals
doesn't mean
it's all fun and games now.
Yeah, know? So essentially what we're saying is finals Serge Ibaka showed up in the scrimmage today.
Yes.
And kind of just, like, bossed everybody. He didn't even play that many minutes, but, I mean, there was, like, nobody could stop him.
Yeah.
I liked one specific sequence where the play was a little bit ragged. Terrence Davis had the ball, and Serge kind of just yelled at him. It was like, yo, give me the ball. You know what I mean? Like, let's run the play. You know what I mean? And to the rookie. And, like, you know, some might see it as a little aggressive, but I thought it was just like,
that's
what you should do as a vet. Exactly.
That's
You're supposed to teach the young guys how to play.
And he had one play where I think he drove to the basket and he had a really good pass to Pascal in the corner
for three. Yeah.
And,
like, that was right after he crossed up Konate.
Yeah.
Like, he dropped him. Again, you can see, actually, this one's already out, so you can see it on Yahoo Sports Can, the Twitter account.
The thing with Serge, too, is we saw a little bit of that playmaking come out
in
the playoffs
last
season. And, you know, he's not going to suddenly become like Magic Johnson or something, but I think just adding a little bit of that to his game.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger point, too, is, you know, we talk about all these guys in contract years, you know, aside from the fact that they're probably motivated by everyone writing them off, even though they're champions, there's just naturally a motivation to perform well in a contract year. And I think that's big for Serge, especially because he knows that he doesn't have a starting spot locked down.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to be coming off the bench a lot.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, man, I mean, like, you know.
We've seen that Mark and Serge can play together as well.
I was going to say, like, they're going to play a lot of Pascal at three, it seems like, because Nick is really concerned about what he's going to do in the wing. He keeps talking about, well, I don't have that many options on three, you know what I mean? So that's probably the impetus before playing Pascal at three, even more than his development, is just like, I need a guy who can play three. And
I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's like a different conversation, I guess.
Well, okay, then the other guy that could play a lot of three is OG, right?
Yeah.
And
who threw one down on our guy, Serge.
I was going to say, OG had, it was a little bit up and down, but he had some very good moments, including that one where he two-handed dunk on Serge Ibaka. That one you can also find on Yahoo Sports Canada. We're the only people there with cameras. Shout out Ahmed. The guy who shot the whole game.
Shout out Kieran too, man.
Yeah, shout out Kieran, man. Damn. My guy.
Clip this one too, Kieran.
If you see him, get him a vegan Red Bull.
Clip this clip of yourself, Kieran.
Okay, he's not doing that. He's going to sleep like 14 hours tonight and miss the flight tomorrow. No, OG had a... I thought OG, in terms of just the type of game that he was playing... You know, the thing is, like, because the way the two teams are stacked, I felt like the best two point guards were on one side. On the other side, it was Norman Powell chucking shots. So, like, OG had nobody creating for him. Right. And, like, in most situations, OG would be the guy who would finish plays. He's not necessarily creating a lot. But, like, you know, he shot a little bit of play creation on his own today. You know, dribbled to the basket. You know,
Still looks a little awkward, like you pointed out.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why he moves like that, but, like, he's very strong. I thought he was very physical in the lane. He had a really good block, and I think he did the best he could, really. It kind of reminded me a little bit of OG in Summer League 2 years ago where, you know, he was given a lot of freedom to basically try whatever, and he failed a lot, but he also showed a little bit too. So I think, for more than anything else, my takeaway from OG in training camp is that he definitely is in a better mood. His body has slimmed down. I don't know if that's because he, you know, literally had to have an appendectomy. Right. So that might have, like, sapped him, his appetite, at least for a while. But, yeah, he looks really good. He looks really sharp. And, like, in the shooting drills, man was knocking everything down. Like he's
like no propaganda. He was knocking everything.
Yeah, down. Yeah. This isn't a Matt Thomas 99% thing. This is like, you know, OG Anunoby will shoot, you know, could probably shoot like 38% from three, which is all we're asking him to do. Yep. You know what I mean? So
no, I think when he's healthy, he's a functional starting small forward in this league. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's established at this point. So it's just a matter of, I think a lot of people want to put expectations on him.
Yep.
And want him to be that second star alongside Pascal. So.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. We'll see. He just doesn't have that kind of scoring touch. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're going to be completely honest mm-hmm. about the whole thing. But at the same time, if you want to know more about OG Anunoby, I actually just did a whole video with him at Media Day where yeah. I asked him. Well, the final cut of the video had 25 questions. I asked him probably close to 40.
Yeah, even the 25 only turned into a 3-minute video.
When you get assigned OG Anunoby to interview for like 5 minutes, yeah. you need to prepare 50 questions.
Yeah, who told you least. That?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And I stole your question. I stole your question.
I just want to continue to get credit for a part of Will's career as it continues to rise. So
yeah, well, you know.
You've been holding me down on Uber Eats this week, though. So
yeah, that's what I do. but anyway, yeah, you can watch that video on
YouTube.
Man,
we're plugging a lot of content. I guess we have been providing comprehensive coverage.
This is what we call 10-pole coverage, all right? Yeah, wow. 10-pole and everything's in the 10. Anyway. Wow,
10 cent.
All right. Shout out Tencent. Another guy that looked really impressive to me, Fred, who
yes.
only got in the scrimmage wearing pants.
Yeah, flex. He was wearing joggers. Yeah. He was wearing joggers, you know, sweatpants.
Yeah.
That's a flex. Yeah. That's a flex. And yeah, he played well. I mean, I don't know. I think this is just what we expect from Fred, right? Another guy in a contract year, too.
Yeah.
And another guy who has stated explicitly many yep. times that he wants to be a starter.
Yep.
And I think the spot is there for him.
Someone might have wrote 2,000 words on this, too. Check my Twitter account.
The 10-pull coverage continues. I'm telling you,
man.
Have we not covered?
Yeah, seriously. We have covered a lot of people. But Fred, in particular. So, in this game, one stretch, obviously, that really stood out was to end the first half. Fred, coming down, 2-for-1 opportunity, comes off the high screen, pull up from, let's say, like 28 feet. And then next play down, limited shot clock, comes down, hits another three. Same scenario, pull up. Pretty good defense both times. Like, McCaw's pretty good as a defender, mm-hmm. at least. But Fred just, you know, no fear. I thought he had a really nice spinning reverse finish over Chris Boucher, mm-hmm. which for a guy in Fred who's, like, not even 6 foot to finish over a guy like Boucher who's extremely long, that's not easy to do. I just like Fred's poise, man.
And Fred, you know, I think... because he carries himself a little bit like a veteran. Like, we forget, he's still a really young guy.
He's 25.
Yeah. Like, I think there's still development there.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, I think the one thing that we saw as like, a flaw, whatever you want to call it in the playoffs, is, you know, like you said, he's 6 feet, right? Like, sometimes against larger guards, it mm-hmm. might be a challenge on both ends of the floor. But,
yep.
you know, this is also a guy who showed out in the finals, showed out against the Bucks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he's ready to have a huge year.
Yeah.
And if it's a battle between, if it's like kind of like whatever, quote unquote, battle between him and Norm mm-hmm. for the starters' minutes, like, you know,
I yeah.
you got to give the edge to Fred so far.
Yeah. We'll talk about Norm in a second. He was, probably the least impressive player there, I guess. Which is not, I mean, obviously it's just one practice. It's not a big deal. But yeah, a little bit disappointed. Another guy that I liked in terms of just like generally what I saw was Isaiah Taylor, which is kind of surprising. You're already shaking your head. You're like, sure. All right.
Take the lead on this, yeah.
Okay, so the profile on Isaiah Taylor, who is sort of battling Cameron Payne for like the third point guard minutes right now. So he sort of bounced around a little bit. He hasn't really fully cracked the NBA yet. Apparently, he's very fast. He defends pretty doggedly. And, you know, he just doesn't really have, like, the jumper down pat. But today, he was hitting jumpers. And when he has that part in this game down, he looks like a very solid contributor. Like, he hit, you know, a couple three-corner threes, you know. One play I really liked was that in the fourth quarter there, like, nothing's on the line. Literally nothing's on the line. But he, you know, bodies up in campaign, completely just pressures him, gets right into him. Like, it's like, you know, Fred VanVleet versus Steph Curry in the finals or something. And then... And then forces Payne into a travel. You know what I mean? We can put aside Cameron Payne jokes. Okay, yeah, whatever. He's not very good. But, like, still, I like that competitiveness out of him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want that position, go get it. Like, the guys you're competing with is right there. Mm-hmm. Go do what you can. Show what you can do defensively. And I thought Taylor today, like, he was pretty solid. He's pretty solid. He had a bunch of threes. And, again, he played on the much more talented team, so it does sort of help him. I thought he had way better service in terms of just, like, people passing to him and stuff. But I like what I saw. I'm still not convinced he's going to be the guy, but, you know, if it's between him and Payne, I'd probably go with him.
Well, that's the type of things that'll jump out for the coaching staff too, right? Like, you know, if you're fighting for just like a third point guard spot or whatever it is, you just need a guy that's out there for like a 3-minute stretch or something and just be good on the defensive end. And if he can be that, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at the roster, like a lot of the guys that we signed in the offseason as kind of reclamation projects or whatever you want to call it. Like Stanley Johnson, Rondé.
Yeah.
You know, I would put Pat McCaw in there too, you know, re-signing him.
Reclamation project.
Like we, you know, didn't really.
I mean, it wasn't a really, massive haul, you know.
Didn't really hear much from them in today's scrimmage.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those guys. So,
like, what did Stanley Johnson show you today?
Stanley Johnson was out there.
Yeah.
Beyond that.
Yeah.
Didn't really see too much.
Yeah.
He had a couple drives to the rim. I'm like, okay.
And again, that's another guy with like a really good camp could work his way into the conversation of a starting spot.
Well, I mean, I think what's difficult for some of these guys is that they're coming into a new offense, mm-hmm. and so it's hard to sort of get into the rhythm of things immediately. And you can definitely tell like how comfortable Fred is in making the reads, how comfortable Serge is making the reads, Pascal, you know. I'm going to leave Norm out of it because, oh my God, Norm, what were you doing today, man? I think he had like a 3-for-21 game. It was.
Yeah, Norm's going to be Kobe this year.
He was.
Norm's going to have a 7-for-33 game this year.
Okay, 33 is a lot, man. You got to. That's coaching, my prediction. As a coaching staff, I hope you pull him by the time he gets to 33. But.
Double overtime.
We're not talking about Dwayne Casey coaching that Rudy Gay and DeMar DeRozan combo. Wow. That went to overtime against the Rockets and lost.
We should point out, too, that like a lot of these guys will probably benefit from playing with Kyle and Mark.
Oh, definitely. Like they're the two best passers on the team.
Yeah, the two best facilitators and creators on the team.
You think Kyle and Mark were both going to be on the white team? Because that would have helped even. Because it was so embarrassing. Because like, I think the black team were up 25 by the end of the third quarter. And they were just like, magically, they
adjusted the score. So the scoreboard said 72-72.
Yeah. Yikes, that's bad.
Man, if I was a fan, I'd be upset. Yeah, I'm here to watch a real scrimmage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've had a really funny that the two media people beside us, who I don't recognize who they are, whatever.
Yeah, I think they were local media.
Sure.
You were going to say that they cheered after one of the squads made a
basket. Yeah, and I'm like, are you rooting for a specific squad? Yeah. They're the same team.
It's like what are you, Will Lou? Yeah. Will Lou in the playoffs?
I did some broadcasting. No. Yo, the IG Lives, I did some broadcasting today.
Yeah, yo, tentpole coverage is real, man. Willu was getting, what was it, your Periscope?
I was trying to do the Periscope thing.
Willu brought the selfie stick.
I couldn't do it for the whole game. That was not allowed, but
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. Again, you'll see the highlights of this coming out soon. But yeah, so the other guys. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see much from Stanley Johnson. I don't think he asserted himself too much. I think it's a little bit awkward for him. I think he, no, it takes a little bit of time to make decisions with the ball. He likes to sort of survey a little bit. You know, kind of the same. I mean, I don't think the Raptors are getting a finished product at all in Stanley Johnson. So that's something that he's got to work in. I feel like if he gets more experience with the offense, he'll look a little bit better. Pat McCaw is kind of the same stuff. Like, I don't understand why Pat McCaw keeps coming into the game and then disappearing.
That's really Pat McCaw.
Like, why don't you come out and, like, try to seize the opportunity? You know what I mean?
You look at Pat McCaw, he has, like, all the makings of a guy who could be, like, a good NBA player.
But then he just, like, doesn't assert himself on the game. Yeah. Like, the only time you really notice him is when he pressures on defense. Like, he was the point guard for the team, and, like, it's hard as a point guard to not be noticed on offense. Mm-hmm. And he really wasn't noticed because, you know. So, that's all you can really say about that. DeJuan Hernandez, you know, had a couple nice finishes. I like his athleticism, you know. He ripped the rebound at one point and took it the length of the floor for a layup, and I was like, okay, cool.
Malcolm Miller had a couple nice windmill dunks in...
Are you talking about the layup line? Yo, come on.
Yo, you want temple coverage?
Wow. These are the notes
we need to cover all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did have some windmill dunks in the warm-up line and hit some corner threes. You know, it's Malcolm Miller. We've seen him many years now in a row. The Raptors want to keep him, they can keep him. They don't want to keep him, whatever. Rondé. Rondo was a mixed bag because he did some good things, but he also looked just terrible shooting a basketball.
Yeah. And you were saying that, what did Nick say about his shooting earlier this week?
Yeah, I've never heard a coach when asked about players who are limited shooters, because coaches will always be there to like hype you up and, you know, or at least find a political way to saying it.
If like, it's open, shoot it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's keep like, shooting. We want him to keep shooting.
Yeah, we trust him. You know what I mean? Yeah. But in the locker room, he's like, never shoot. But he was like, honestly, we're not looking for shooting on a Rondé. We're going to put him in that dunker spot, sort of where Ben Simmons was for the whole entire playoffs against the Raptors. And he could just wait there. You know, we got big second shoot, like Chris Boucher, much better shooter than him. So if Boucher can be on the outside, he can be on the inside. And he's crafty down low. And he kind of is crafty down low, but also, like, that he just can't shoot. And, like, we were watching them, again, we're going back to the warm-up line, but, like, when you watch him shoot, obviously the warm-up line can be deceptive or whatever, but the way he shoots, the ball can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it can go at any point.
Yeah, there's no, like, consistent form.
Yeah.
Looks like he's shot-putting the ball.
it's just unfortunate.
I think Rondé's another player. There's probably a lot of players on this Raptors team, like all the guys we just named. Like, in a particular five-man unit, maybe coming off the bench, if they can find some kind of consistency with five guys, you know, a lineup that has shooting and has defense, like, there's definitely value to someone like him.
Sure.
But, man, you know, I think that's going to be the challenge for Nick, right?
Yeah.
Of finding
balance,
you know, bench mob, you know, like whatever you want to call it. Like finding some kind of bench mob, maybe. Bench mob part two.
I missed the bench mob, man.
Remember Bucks had bench mob t-shirts last year?
Oh.
And they had the bootleg, the outdoors, the Jurassic Park.
Deer Park.
Deer Park.
Man, listen.
And they got swept.
Everybody want to be the Raptors.
We're really just going to reminisce about last season for like the next 25 years.
We're gonna,
the Raptors' 50th anniversary will just be the same as this year, the 25th anniversary.
Mopey's still coming to that? Yeah.
You think if they ask Kawhi to come for like a 50th anniversary,
yeah,
he'll like show up for like a ovation at center court?
We'll do if we hold it in LA, yeah, sure.
Probably. I also realized one thing. It's going to be really weird when you go to a Raptors home game this season and you see a lot of DeMar and Kawhi jerseys.
It's all part of the history, man.
They're really both gone.
It's all part of the histories. Who else? Yeah, I thought, okay, to the point with Rondé, in complete fairness to him, obviously he's not brought here to be expected to shoot. But I think what he does well is, like, he fills in the other parts of the game, right? So, like, he defends well. Yeah. He pushes the ball up well. He passes the ball well. You know what I mean? And, like, he kind of makes, not smart decisions, but he, like, he sort of dials up the intensity of a game to the point where he can make things happen just with his hustle. And I like that about him. I thought, like, even Nick singled them out. It was like, he had a good game. And I was like, not really. But, yeah, like, he does enough things where, again, you just got to bring the structure around him. He's definitely an imperfect player.
Yeah.
But he can do some things. And I think defensively, you know, he's more impactful there. And it was interesting. He played a lot of four. Occasionally kind of played five, too. So, you know, all
right. Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of lineup combinations this season, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
One guy that did impress me that we didn't mention earlier, Chris Boucher. I thought he finished really well around the basket. A lot of dunks.
Yeah, folk hero, too, around these parts, you know?
Yep, definitely.
Montreal, Quebec. Yeah, what do you expect from Chris Boucher? He still does not pass up a single shot.
Yeah, he could pass a little bit more, man. He could pass a little bit more, but I mean, it just is what it is with him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's completely capped out at this level. But, like, one of the French reporters, you know, asked Nick one of these days of, like, hey, what does Boucher need to do to, like, make the team? And he was like, you know, better timing on blocks and finishing better around the rim. And I'm thinking, like, what do you want Nick to say? Like, he kind of is what he is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sometimes those things.
He's a, like, bench guy.
Yeah, players just either have it or don't.
He can be on the team. He can contribute. He can play NBA minutes. He can even put up numbers. But he's a little bit like Bebe in a way. Whereas, like, you never really start him. And if you were even relying on him as a bench guy, like, you're not really sure that you're going to, you know, get something productive
out. Oh, yeah. Like in a high-level game, like, he would really stand out as, like, the worst player on the court if he's out there, right?
In a high-level. And we're talking about a high-level playoff-level game. Like, he wouldn't make the floor. But, I mean, he does do things. Like, he can hit an open three. He can finish around the basket, which is important. The finish around the basket needs to be a little bit better. He needs to just be stronger with it. But ultimately, he's, like, a really skinny, like, just too skinny to be, like, a front court player.
Yeah.
Like, you need certain things, like rebounding, boxing out. You need to, like, be able to hold people up in the post. And like, I'm just looking at it and I'm like, you know, is that really there for him?
Yeah. You know, I guess that's the theme for the Raptors this season. There's a lot of guys.
Kind of imperfect.
A lot of guys like that.
Some other guys, I mean, O'Shea Brissett, pretty athletic, you know, makes things happen. He's probably not going to be with the Raptors this year, probably go to 905. Sagaba Kanate.
Yep.
He's got a knee brace on. He's still recovering from his knee thing, so I'm not expecting him to be like tip-top shape, and he didn't really look like out there, so, you know, that's all they said about there. Devin Robinson, also probably not going to be with the Raptors, just in for training camp, probably go to 905 maybe. Real skinny, like McCaw level skinny, except he's 6'8", and he plays in the front court. So if Boucher has problems with size, like Robinson's definitely going to have problems with size. Maybe he could be a 3 because he's kind of quick off the dribble. He has crazy hops, but also can't shoot. So I'm not really sure there. And did we cover everybody?
I think so.
That's everybody. Yeah. So I don't know, man. In general, after watching this, how do you feel about the team?
You know,
are you still going with the number one this seed prediction that's coming out and run it back?
Honestly, I'm not drawing any conclusions from this. It's a scrimmage.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know, I think definitely I'm keeping an eye on all these guys that are fighting for spots for the rest of training camp. Like, I think at some point I do want to see some things out of guys like Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Pat McCaw. Like, I think preseason is going to be a good chance for them to really show that. So, but, I mean, again, no Kyle and Mark is a big thing, right? And some of the other core guys that we talked about, Serge looked good, Fred looked good.
Yep.
So, you know, the core of the team will be what it is. I think Norm is an interesting guy to me. You know, I think Nick's talked him up a bit this week.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about Norm.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about
Norm. Okay, let's go on.
We estimated that he shot 3 for 21.
The shot selection was just poor, man. Yeah. It was poor.
But that's Norm, though. I mean, were you surprised?
Yeah.
Really?
It was, well, I mean, I just thought after last season, he got so good at picking his spots.
Yeah.
And again, he can't pick your spots on a scrimmage for the most part. And you really can't pick your spots on a scrimmage where nobody else is on the team is compassing to you. But at the same time, you have to take like half those shots. At least like half those shots are bad shots.
That's the thing with Norm, though. Like, that's the danger of maybe, you know, getting more opportunities this season. It's good for some guys, might not be good for others.
Man.
Yeah. That's the story with Norm. Like, it's always been the consistency,
that's true.
Right?
That's
it's
true.
The consistency. So,
yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be a strange spot for these guys. Kind of, you know, guys like Norm and OG had to take a step back last season.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of like, all right, you're back to where you were 2 years ago. So,
are you more confident in OG or Norm?
Oh, definitely OG. Yeah.
Why? Because he can defend?
I think because he can defend. And I think OG just kind of plays within, like, you know, his capabilities.
Right.
Like, you know, Norm can. I'm telling you, like, Norm is the most Kobe guy on this team.
Norm has a little Deion Waiters in him.
A little bit. Yeah, Norm was at the Mamba Academy this summer.
So was OG, man.
Yeah, but OG knows, like, you know, I think OG just plays within like his capabilities, and then that's a big difference.
Kobe looks at OG film and he's like, "There's nothing you can take away from me. We're the most opposite players possible.
Yeah.
You're a 3-and-D guy. I just take impossible shots that you will never take. What do you want me to say to you?
No, I mean, I would love for Norm. I mean, Norm's one of those guys where it's like, maybe that's just who he is, right?
Yeah. And also, you know, again, like, the context here was not set up for Norm to succeed.
Sure.
But, you know.
Again, it's a scrimmage.
It's a scrimmage. And I'm not really disheartened or too impressed with anybody here, except for Terrence Davis.
Yeah. And Serge. Serge Ibaka, man.
And Serge, man. Serge is going to have a great year.
No, Serge is locked in.
Serge, yeah, listen, if Serge plays at the level he played last season before the Marc Gasol trade, where he was averaging like 17 points a game, getting 8 rebounds, getting a block and a half, shooting 50%, and he's on an expiring year, the Raptors get a first round pick from that, protected?
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's possible. I mean, the whole league is going to be wide open too, right? So
yeah, a lot of teams would use Serge.
You would assume teams would want some of those. A guy like Serge.
A lot of teams could use Serge,
yeah,
you know?
So we'll see.
If you're in the Eastern Conference, you got to play the Sixers. I mean, you know, who better than to get Serge? You know?
No, I really think the championship run helped him.
Yeah.
It helps guys.
And also, I think Nick Nurse's offense helped him. He just looks way more comfortable as a 5, which that's why I'm a little bit curious why they keep talking about him playing a 4, just because, like, I kind of I'm out on that idea, but
I'm not really with the Pascal playing the 3-2, but I guess it's happening.
Oh yeah, well, let's talk about Pascal, because we didn't really talk that much about Pascal. Pascal was a mixed bag, only in the sense that, like, I thought he was going to come out and dominate, and he just never did that.
Yeah, he didn't really stand out in the way that maybe you would expect.
He didn't take a single pull-up jumper or any sort of stuff that he's been working on.
Yeah,
he's been working on a lot of, like, post-fadeaways, jumpers, but I don't think it's comfortable for him to pick his spot yet. Like, it's not in his mind that, like, this is one of the shots I'm going to. Mm. He's still very much, like, if you ask Pascal to create offense, it's still going to be similar to what he's doing, like post-ups.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he did run a couple pick and rolls. Mostly was a passer, didn't really look to score in those situations. And that's something that he just has to get, like, more experience in. I'm not saying this is not going to work out for him. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't go from zero to, like, it's not a finished product overnight.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, you got to throw him into the fire this season and just let him do his thing. Let him, like, you know, run some plays for him at those spots or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
See what happens. But again, I go back to, like, you know, I think him playing with Kyle
will
help a lot.
Yeah. Kyle, man.
Yeah.
What would be great if you're out there?
Kyle, man. Yeah. Sign that legacy contract.
How much you paying Kyle?
What did I say on the show?
I don't know, man.
I think I said 3 years, 60.
Drank a bunch of, like, panda drinks and I forgot.
Yeah.
Shout out Shay Tao.
Yeah. Shout out Shay Tao. Watch Run It Back. Go on the Yahoo Sports Canada feed. Watch all the videos. YouTube.
Shay Tao sounds like an actual person.
Yeah. So Shay Tao is the Asian themed bar where we filmed our first episode this week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good spot in Quebec City. There's not that many spots that we were able to hit up, but
yeah. The arcade bar we went to last night was cool.
McFly,
yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah. Wow.
Had a lot of red stripe. Alex was turning an undisclosed age.
Yeah, I'm 35.
All right. I didn't want to put that
out. I'm retiring when I'm 50, so we're going to do 15 seasons of Run It Back.
Yeah. We could talk about the championship for 15 years. I'm down.
Man. Run It Back is
my... wrote a whole book about it, so we could just go page by page.
Run It Back is my retirement fund.
Man, oh, right.
This is not going to age well when the show gets canceled next
month.
It's
not doing that because the fans are going to support the show.
That's right.
They're going to support it. You're going to watch it on...
if it gets canceled, you protest.
Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page.
You protest at Jurassic Park.
Sure. Why not? Well, anything else we got to cover before we got to go?
No, our Uber Eats has arrived.
Oh, yeah. So dinner's here. Thanks, everyone, for listening. So the Raptors wrapped up training camp here in Quebec. It's pretty... Yeah, I don't know. It's decent. It's fun. I like Quebec City.
Yeah, and it's
what are your thoughts on Quebec City? I love the French reporters that at every single scrum.
So you're gonna ask me now?
Asked Nick Nurse about what he liked about Quebec City, like just like every single time. Which I mean, I don't blame him, but at the same time, like, come on, man. So anyway, Alex, what was your favorite thing about Quebec City?
Yeah, I had a chance to walk around Old Quebec today.
Yeah,
you joined me for a little bit of it. You know,
we had a Tunisian food.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
good call. Went to a museum, learned a little bit about monasteries.
Yeah, that was a little freaked me out a little bit, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and
the lifestyle there was
checked out the strange. Was it the citadel?
Yes,
good views. Yeah,
we sound like the tourists that come in from Safeway.
A lot of Asian tourists.
That's just everywhere in life.
I thought, man, I was gonna bump into my mom, to be honest.
I told you, man, like I was in Halifax and like there's like a place near Halifax called Peggy's Cove, which is pretty popular. People go, you gotta like, see like the rocks and the lighthouse and the Atlantic Ocean's there. It's nice. But it's like just like a small fishing village or whatever. It's not even a village, it's like 10 houses. And I was there and they had as one of the food carts there, and there was maybe only two food carts there, one of them offered lobster congee. And I was like, Asian tourists are everywhere.
That's amazing.
So we're gone too far, man.
It's like a Kanji Wong pop-up.
I appreciated it. I almost got out of the car to get it, even after eating a meal. But also at the same time, like, come on, man. We're making Peggy's Cove serve kanji. That's
also my favorite thing about Asian tourists. Like, you know, they always have their selfie sticks and they'll be asking other people to take photos for them.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like with us, like a lot of us post our photos on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, follow Willu Fitz on Instagram. Will is now on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely control that account. That's definitely me. And
oh house. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why that person's writing in all lowercase. Kind of weird.
Yeah. Wow.
But
it's almost like a telltale sign.
Yeah, but where do all the photos go when the Asian it just goes in their WeChats and they're like, WeChat, "What's up?" Yeah. And like, that's it.
You know, us Asians, we're in mad group chats.
Photo albums. My parents used to have a lot of photo albums.
every time I go home to see my grandparents, my grandma gives me her phone, which is like has very limited memory and it's an old phone. Whatever, she doesn't need to use it for anything other than WeChat. But she's just like, can you delete all my can you wipe the memory so I can delete so I can download more photos on WeChat because I can't even load them anymore.
Yeah, I just wonder where all the photos go. You know. Yeah.
That's what we do, man.
Yeah.
We wear visors. We go as a group.
Yeah. No, as long as you can bus there, they'll go. Yeah. As long as there's a bus route.
Yeah.
They're there. So shout outs to Quebec City.
Shout out to Quebec City. Yeah. What I really like. I like the Museum of Civilization. It was really cool. I like to learn about the history of the Quebecois. There was a great exhibit on Aboriginal art. Yeah, that was cool. If you're between the ages of 11 and 30, you get a special rate. Which wow. I really appreciate because I no longer get the student rate, but this one was like if you're, I don't know, 11 to 30 is a weird range, but I fit under that, so I was happy to pay $11.
No, museums are cool. I've come to appreciate that later in my life. Used to find them really boring.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, yeah, it's cool to get educated about history.
Yeah.
Before the world ends.
All right. That does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Watch Run It Back. For Kieran's sake, Run It Back. And for our sake as well.
Click it twice.
Click it on all your platforms.
Send it to one of your friends.
If you have like
multiple... I'll be buying clicks anyways, but just help me out.
If you have multiple Gmail accounts and you're watching it on Chrome, like switch your accounts.
Yep.
Then click it with each one.
Yeah. Go to an internet cafe. Bring four friends.
Yep. Download a VPN.
Yeah. Before you play Counter-Strike, just click on Run It Back.
Counter-Strike. This guy, man. Showing your age.
Commerce. Yeah.
Wow. All right, that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. For me and Alex, we're signing out from Quebec.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.